I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get ready to shift from European action to the Scottish Cup. It's Advantage Rangers against Fenerbahce as they come home from Istanbul with a 3-1 lead from the first leg. Celtic against Hibs, arguably tie of the round perhaps in the Cup, with two of the country's informed teams locking horns. But it does all start tonight with Hearts taking on Dundee. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
With all due respect to Hearts and Dundee, let there be no doubt that the main story of the day was Rangers' exceptional performance, exceptional result against Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce. And I told you. And they laughed. Simon Donnelly almost laughed in my face in that chair. Rangers will make the Europa League final. And I cannot wait for Sunday. 7,000 Celtic fans, oh, Hibs fans at Celtic Park. Great atmosphere, tremendous time prospect. Fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I'll just obviously echo what Hugh said. They're an outstanding away performance from Barry Ferguson's Rangers side. They obviously take a healthy lead into next Thursday's game at Ibrox, and it's one of them ones. Is it too early to dream for the Rangers fans? And looking ahead till Sunday, as Hugh says again, 7,000 highbies, obviously on that 15-game unbeaten run, which is, at this moment in time, you think they'll be full of confidence, but Celtic obviously have a job in hand to go for another treble, so we'll be looking forward to it.
Come on then, it's 0141-951-1025. Give us a call tonight and let us know what you are thinking. Rangers fans, how good was last night? What was good about it? Who impressed you individually? What about Barry Ferguson's part in all of this? Who would have thought a couple of months ago we'd be talking about Barry Ferguson getting one over on Jose Mourinho in the dugout? I don't know how we got here, but Scottish football never fails to amaze you with the storyline sometimes. So how good was last night? What was good about it? Which players impressed you? What about the game plan? How confident are you of progression from here? Both managers, for different reasons, very keen to point out that it's only half time and nothing's done yet. I wonder how you feel. How confident are you from here? You've had a good look at Fenerbahce. You've had a good look at your team getting the better of them. So how confident are you of progression from here? I know the last thing you want to hear is Hugh Keevans absolutely certain that you're making the final. That is enough to ruin your weekend, because we know what happens when he gets his fingerprints over a prediction.
Did you get my text last night?
Which one?
I sent him the same text 5 times.
Was it an array of texts?
Just to say Rangers to make the final. I don't grudge him it. He's wrong about Yang. He was wrong about Motherwell at Ibrox last week.
Yang's been out there flying.
He was wrong about St Mirren at Ibrox the week before. So I'll let him deal with this one for now. Give us a call, like we said last night. Everything to do with the game in Istanbul, give us a shout. There's also a kind of ongoing theme here that, as good as last night was, Rangers kind of always do this on a Thursday night in Europe, and no one can quite say why. Yes, everybody says there's more space in Europe and they're easier to, not easier, but it may be suitable for Rangers that way. But this is a serious length of time this has been going on. This is not even just Barry Ferguson. This seems to be every Rangers manager at the moment that manages to sort of defy what's been happening domestically to go and get some European results. But how good was that one? Where did that one rank last night? Give us a call, please, on 0141-951-1025. Celtic fans, you have earned the right to go into every single domestic game as big favourites, especially at home, and you will do so again. I wonder if Hibs carry any worry for you whatsoever. If you could play any team If you want to avoid any team at this point in time, I suppose it would be Hibs, the informed team in the country. But are you going to have too much, or is it one of those that still gives you a little tiny bit of worry in there? You do have home advantage, so give us all your thoughts ahead of the Scottish Cup. We'll build up to the game tonight, more across the weekend, and anything else that you think we've missed, give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. All happening, Hugh.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho told Barry Ferguson and the Rangers players not to celebrate too much because, as Barry Ferguson himself said, it's only half time. But for me, I think that's bluster and bravado from Jose Mourinho. I think the tie is perfectly poised for Rangers because Mourinho knows he's got to go to Ibrox on Thursday night and find himself some goals. Therefore, it leaves spaces for Rangers to manipulate, and I think Rangers will do that.
As we said, Scott, that this is new because it's Barry Ferguson, and it's new because I think there was a feeling that performances had hit a real low point, if you look at kind of Motherwell, St Mirren, Queen's Park and so on. But it is also a continuation of Rangers fans just almost in the back of their minds knowing that it'll be all right on the Thursday night in a way that it's just not in other competitions.
Yeah, I think we're at this stage now where we just need to take Rangers as a completely different side when it comes to a Thursday night. I think looking at Barry Ferguson, how they did set up to obviously play against Fenerbahce last night, he's got to take huge credit for that. Obviously, he kind of spoke on his post-match presser how they didn't have much many days, obviously, to work on. I think it was one day, and they've only kind of had 9 training days of all, so it's not a lot of time. But listen, Rangers, the Rangers players, first and foremost, they carried it out to a tee, and like we said, I think that sets them up for a perfect game at Ibrox.
Andrew is in Dumbarton. How are you, Andrew?
Not bad, yourselves?
Not bad, Andrew. How do you look back on last night fondly, I would imagine?
I mean, obviously I enjoyed it. What a result. I was listening to your show a couple of nights ago, and I think it was the second Craig that had been on, and he had mentioned how he wouldn't be surprised if Rangers went and got a result, considering obviously how we've been at home domestically, just having been beaten by Motherwell. And it would just be typical Rangers, and it kind of would show what the players were kind of more interested in, or that's how it would seem. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought of it.
Scott, I'll ask you just from the tactical side of things, and Hugh, you give us the bigger picture. People are desperate for we're always looking for that silver bullet answer or just an easy explanation to all these things. And the most common one, which does make sense, is Rangers are more suited to Europe because they get more space. They can't break teams down as effectively, so when teams sit off them, they can't really do it as effectively, but in Europe, lots of space, hence the good results. In the last few nights, though, Andrew's right. People on here and on the phones and the pundits have been saying, but it's not like Motherwell sat in this low block that Rangers couldn't break down. You know, Motherwell kind of came out and Rangers were still struggling in those games. So does that blow the low block argument out the water? Is there a psychological element to this maybe even where there is just a different belief or a different mindset in Europe?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at it as a whole, the European performances have been outstanding. I think ultimately looking at this Rangers side, they are set up to be a counter-attacking side. I think that's really evident from all the performance, even more so last night. So then when it does come to a Saturday and they're at home, then it comes down to, yes, I know you're saying Motherwell weren't exactly a low block, but they get players back and obviously players behind the ball, which you would expect them to do, and they were obviously holding on to a lead at the time. I think it just comes to the moments for some of these Rangers players when it's like that, they're kind of looking to the player next to them to take control and make something happen, whereas in these games abroad, the pass is on because the space is there. And that's for me why I just think they're built for counter-attack. That's why we've seen the performance against Celtic in January. That's why it comes to a Saturday and it becomes lethargic and you're just waiting for someone to kind of catch fire. So for me, I think ultimately the players they have are built for counter-attack.
He can do the tactics, then you can do the psychology. Can it be that way? Can it be more suitable where, I'm not sure if it's, I don't know if underdog is the right phrase, but you know what I mean? There is just a bit more of a psychological freedom when in Europe. Is that possible?
I think Mourinho was indicative of a manager who thought, well, at the end of the day, team from Scotland. And I think
an out-of-form team.
Yeah. I'd like to know what games he watched prior to taking Rangers on. Did he just look at Queen's Park, St Mirren and Motherwell? Did he have a look at any of their European performances? And I think at that level, I think people underestimate the Scottish sides. To be fair to Celtic in the Champions League, they've had good results this season as well. I do take Andrew's point that it's inexplicable. In the same season that you lose to a mid-table championship side in the Scottish Cup, Barry Ferguson, and Queen's Park had nothing to do with Barry Ferguson, but in Barry Ferguson's first ever match as a manager in Europe, he beats Mourinho, and comfortably, and Mourinho got off lightly. And although it's inexplicable, the domestic form and the European form, I think you have to first of all acknowledge that Rangers have done it. They've gone to places where they were vast underdogs, and they've done it. Yes, it looks illogical. It looks like going from the ridiculous to the sublime. But you have to give them credit for actually doing it, and they are a heartbeat away from the last eight now.
That's kind of the point, though, Scott. Is it? It's illogical if you're comparing it to the domestic performances, but it's not illogical if you're... This is a team who finished in the top eight. They finished well above... well above Fenerbahce in that Europa League phase.
20 odd went.
So it depends.
I just feel the players they have and the system they have now in place, they're suited for counter attack football. I think when the onus is on them to go and create and constantly sustain attacks, they look a bit frail, especially when they turn over the ball. I think you can't underestimate how important guys like John Souter coming back and being fit well last night. I think Balogun as well came in, was outstanding, and I know he is still carrying a bit of a knock, so the players coming back do help. I think obviously Barron coming in as well, so Ferguson obviously went with two Scottish players the team, first time that's been in a while, which is an interesting call.
Balogun is initially left out because, by Barry Ferguson's own admission, he wasn't fit enough to play.
I know.
From the start, and yet comes on
outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, so credit where credit is
due. Tom's next up. Tom, what impressed you last night? What did you take away from it?
Thank you, and Scott.
Hello.
Yeah, fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I thought it was. You know, what impressed me was, as I said to the girl on the phone there, was how did you and Scott and maybe yourself, even Gordon, I know you're a mother old man, but rate the players. I thought Dessers was outstanding. I thought John Souter did a fantastic game, as did Balogun, which kind of leads to me on my second point. I was going to ask you and Scott, did you think actually with, sadly with Proper getting taken off, because I actually don't rate Proper, I'd put my house on Balogun every game. I thought that changed the game. To me, I don't know if we would have managed to win the game 3-1.
Well, let's say that, the tone is set by Dessers scoring as early as he did. I know that Fenerbahce came back, and we can debate Jack Butland's part in the equalising goal, but I think from the first whistle, Rangers were confident in themselves. The players trusted each other. Very unfortunate that Butland came out and had the clash with his own player. Rangers thoroughly deserved to win. I repeat, Jose Mourinho got off lightly. And Jose Mourinho might not have been in the job today if Rangers had scored any more goals.
It's a bit, let's not be too critical and or unfair on Robin Proper, who probably woke up with a sore face having been headbutted by his own teammate and had a fairly difficult night on that front. What do you make of Tom's general point, though? Maybe a kind of blessing in disguise, if that's not too unfair, that Balogun came on.
Yeah, I think especially obviously when Rangers have the lead and Fenerbahce then start putting a lot of volume across his into the box, if there's one guy who you know is going to attack it with everything he's got, that is Balogun. So from that point of view, I totally agree with Tom's point. It's just because the volume across his, that we are coming into the box, he is the guy. That's how he plays. He's a lot of old school kind of tendencies in how he plays at the back, and I think that with John Souter's calmness next to it was vital in terms of Rangers getting a result last night.
You mentioned him in there, Tom. There is no way we can let him pass by with just a passing mention. Cyril Dessers, come on, talk to me, take it away.
Dessers was, to me, it was absolutely fantastic, as the team was, I think the guy gets slated, you know, which to me, there's 11, well, there's the team, including the reserves, but he seems to carry the can and has carried the can, I would say, for most of the season. I think Hugh would agree with that, maybe even Scott. He seems to come under the radar, probably the fans and different people will slate him for the amount of chances he does miss, but at least he's there, you know. But for his age, I mean, he's, what, 30 now? He's sitting on 22, 23 goals in all competitions. I think he's actually... He doesn't get the credit I believe he deserves. You know, I mean, there's a good man. That's 9 games, maybe 10, going on 10 games, and he's not scored a goal. You know, I don't think Bessers has went that length of time without scoring at least one or two goals within an 8-10 game period.
It becomes like a cliche, Tom. You know, the Bessers' numbers, as they call it now, terrific, absolutely terrific. Any player in the Premiership would be happy with that. But it becomes a cliche, and he gets it. If Rangers are poor, he gets it, first of all. But first-class player, and I think Cherny's contribution last night was massive, and the two of them terrorised Fenerbahce and will do so again next Thursday.
How impressed were you with Cyril Dessers? Because in some ways the numbers haven't ever really been in question. So, but then there becomes a point where they're particularly impressive. 22 at this stage is good. You look at his goal return. But it was more than just that last night, was he not?
Yeah, he was an outball, and I think when you are up there as a lone striker, which he was at times in the game, it's key. I think even in the third goal, I think it's his set that goes back to Raskin for the up back and through ball that Cherny then scores.
You would have liked that pass, Nicholas Raskin.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
That's up your street, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good pace on it because he kind of played it instinctively. Listen, fantastic pass, great weight. Also, Cherny has two touches in there, which haven't been spoken about. The second one he takes just to set himself and open that corner up for him. I think the one with the Cherny and Dessers 1-2 is a fantastic goal. If Dessers meant it to be that inch perfect, but you can't take it away from him. I thought he was outstanding between him and Cherny. They just... Cherny for me was a catalyst just in terms of the speed that he was breaking at and having the finish and the quality moments.
Hugh Keevans has got you through not only this round but to the final. Tom, are you as confident of progression next week?
Yes, well, I think they will throw the kitchen sink at us. You know, knowing Mourinho, you know, when you look at the substitutes he made last night, you know, their striker. They signed for, I think it was €30 million, Gordon, you know, just recently, just for one player. I think he'll go fully armed in from the kick-off. But it's Ibrox, it's a cauldron. Hugh will know that. So would Scott playing there. I think so long as we score, I think they will score. But if we score maybe one or two, I think it'll be tight, but I think we'll just manage to squeeze through because the kitchen sink, I think, is going to come at us.
Tom, just quickly on that, Hugh, we've given Rangers lots of credit and I'm sure we will continue to between now and eight. Did you see anything from Fenerbahce that makes you think they're capable of overturning this?
No. I think they contain too many players whose best days are behind them, most notably Dzeko. I think, Tom, while they are in the process of throwing the kitchen sink at Rangers, they will therefore leave spaces where Rangers can throw the three-piece suite and the standard lamp at them. So I do expect Fenerbahce to score at Ibrox, but I think Rangers will score more than they do.
Thank you to Tom. We need to leave it there because it's time to take a breather. When we return, we'll hear from Barry Ferguson. We'd like to get your thoughts on the game as well, so keep them coming and we'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. They're both desperately keen. They were just telling me during the break to get your thoughts on last night's action in Istanbul. So give us a shout. Barry Ferguson's praising his players for taking all the information he gave them on board. They thought they defended well and, of course, looked a threat going forward.
Yeah, listen, I thought it was a really good performance from my team. They gave me everything that I asked for from the start of the week. And as you've seen, we went a different way from what we're used to playing. So they took a lot of information in. One thing I've got to give them is credit, because they took every single thing that me and my coaching staff went over on the training ground. And I thought tonight, at times, going forward, we looked a real threat. And then I thought defensively, the guys put their bodies on the line. So overall, it's a brilliant result. But there's no way that I'm getting carried away here. This is only half-time in the tie. Fenerbahce are, in my opinion, as I said yesterday, a very good team who I think are one of the favourites to win this competition, and also they've got one of the best managers it's ever been, so they're going to be hurting.
John's on the line. How are you, John?
Yes, not bad, not bad.
What impressed you last night, John? How are you feeling?
Yeah, obviously buzzing with the, you know, it seems to happen, like you were saying earlier on, this isn't a one-off, this has been happening for three or four different managers, but for me, I think what you were touching on, the proper injury for me was a blessing in disguise. And I think a lot of the domestic results that we've had, obviously that have been pretty shocking, especially over the last month, I think a lot of it comes down to that defensive partnership of Proper and NCR. And I think if you put any of the two players in with Suter's babysitting who he's playing with, or if you put Balogun in with Proper, Balogun's kind of babysitting Proper or babysitting NCR, and I think with these two in together, they don't need to watch each other, they trust each other. And I think, you know, you could put a cruise missile into that box last night and one of these two was going to heed it.
Is that fair, Scott? You know, is that the best pairing Rangers have got? That probably does open up another discussion as to how is that when Robin Proper has been, he's been signed, you know, to be the main man. But anyway, leave that aside for, or one of the main men, leave that aside for now. Is that Rangers' best pairing?
Yeah, for me, I think, like I touched on with the previous goal, I think the balance is better. I think Balogun gives you that raw defending where he wants to put his head on everything, kind of last gasp, bodies on the line. John Suter, we've seen many a times last night him do that, but he still has a real calmness on the ball. He's composed and he's a natural leader in a different way. So I don't think there's any question that they two are the best pairing at this moment in time. I think obviously going to a back three last night and having Tav in there, who's also has that bit of composure, that allowed them when they did turn the ball over to keep it for a couple of passes. But for me, the one thing that hurt Fenerbahce last night was how quick Rangers were playing forward when they did win the ball back. That was what caused all the problems. They had obviously the box midfield, which you've seen with the Diamande and Cherney in front of obviously Raskin and Conor Barron. So when they do turn over the ball, the distances allow them to be closer. The passes are on when they look up, and that allowed them to get up the pitch and cause so many problems.
And I know that John is not suggesting for one moment that Proper's concussion was a good thing. But when Barry Ferguson had his first game at Rugby Park, he started with it in Ciala and Proper. And I think he's since then had cause to discover that they're not as good for him as Balogun and Suter. Mm. Balogun didn't start last night purely and simply because Barry Ferguson wondered if he'd last the distance. But then he had to come on, and he was outstanding. But Proper, I'm afraid, will never make it at Rangers. And Ntiala is in the doubtful category.
That's a quick turnaround, though, if that's the case. Everyone was on here saying Ntiala was the future of the Rangers' defence?
Listen, well, it depends who he's in next to. That's the thing. If he's in next to Suter, you would trust him to have more, obviously, leadership and organisation with John Suter, obviously, who knows the Scottish game really well. So, listen, partnerships do make defences. So, with the right balance, you can maybe find a player in NCR. But I think at this moment in time, and especially in Europe, for me, it's Balogh and Suter and Tav if they're going to stick with the three.
John, how much credit does Barry Ferguson deserve? Because you said it, and we've all said it, that you know, Rangers sort of do this in Europe, and all the managers do this. But at the same time, he took a big decision to change the team, didn't he, and change the shape and go three at the back and so on. How much credit does he deserve?
Yeah, I think obviously that could have backfired, and I think a lot of people would be like, what are you doing? You know, you can't change your whole formation with one training session. I think he said he only had a couple of hours with them, you know, but it absolutely worked a treat. And for me, like, the second point that I wanted to bring up was kind of following on for the first point, is do you think, I'd be interested to know your points as to whether or not Suter and Balogun, as daft as it sounds, I don't think they should play domestically again. Right, because the two of them have got niggly injury problems, and I think if we keep them, literally just keep them for Thursday nights, then wrap them in cotton wool in between the European games, you know, there's a chance we could go far. And obviously, when you start getting to the latter stages, you're talking about big money between, you know, reaching the last 16 or getting to the final, do you know what I mean? So I would be wrapping the two in cotton wool.
John, do you include the Celtic game at Celtic Park a week on Sunday?
No chance.
Well, you've just blown your own argument out the water.
Well, that's the good news. And this, we kind of joked about it last week. Yeah, last night. Don't worry, Rangers fans. They can't ruin your weekend this weekend because you know. So they don't have that predicament. They've got now this full week.
Yeah,
as you say, then the Celtic game. I'm not sure. I get obviously where John's coming from, but you can get injured at any time, you know, as that phrase goes. So Suter went off in the first half of the Spurs game in Europe, didn't he?
Yeah.
Balogun went off at half time of the Man United game in Europe.
Barry Ferguson's first game as a manager against Celtic, he would never, ever, for a nanosecond, contemplate not having Balogun and Suter out there. Barry Ferguson wants to go to Celtic Park and win. They'll be playing.
Let's hear from Barry Ferguson on one of the points John touched on there, this shape. He says he needed to change the shape to get success. He also says he won't be getting carried away.
It was a gamble, but it was a gamble I was prepared to take. I've watched, as I said yesterday, watched Fenerbahce nine or ten times. And I just thought I had to change the shape. I thought about it on Sunday, debated with my coaching staff. They weren't too sure. But I had my way. I thought that we could get a result, and then we obviously started to get to work on that in the Tuesday. So I've got to, as I said, I've got to give my players credit because it's no easy changing system, and it was a big change for them. There's a lot of change within the kind of way that I wanted to play. They've never played that before, so yeah, give my players huge credit. But as I said, I'm not going to get carried away with it. Because it's only half time in a tie, and we need to go and make sure that we give that sort of level of performance next Thursday night.
For dafties like me and Hugh, who don't know these things, describe what the exact change was and what it worked and how it worked. Sorry, and what you liked about it.
Well, obviously the three at the back, it allows them when they are out of possession, they can get five back. Obviously, with your two full backs, obviously giving you width when you do have the ball. But if not, you can get back into a five and have a kind of solid base with your two in front. The thing that was different was obviously the positions of Tierney and Diamandé. They weren't exactly wide. They were playing in their little pockets, which caused Fenerbahce's full backs a bit of problem. So it actually allowed Rangers to kind of not give them the freedom to get forward as much. And when they did go, Rangers, because they had the kind of low block, as we would say in football terms, when they did then win the ball, the passes were on to play forward quick, and it caused Fenerbahce a world of trouble. That was the difference. It allowed Rangers, distance-wise, in and out of possession, to be closer to each other when they lose the ball, and then when they're in possession on the ball to find a pass, whether it was 5 yards, 10 yards, and work up the pitch together. And that's what they've done, and that's why they were a huge credit's got to go to Barry Ferguson, because to get that kind of level of performance in that maybe one day that he spoke about is really impressive for me.
Interesting that Mourinho said, you know, there's still 90 minutes or 120 minutes to come, you know, so he's setting out his stall for a long night at Ibrox. But I come back to it, I think he has too many players who are past their best. They are in need of two goals in regulation time to take it to 120 minutes. While going after those two goals, I can see plenty of opportunities for Rangers to spoil his night.
See, just forgetting about tactics for a moment, each Rangers player to a man last night won their individual battles, and that sometimes that's overlooked now because we do talk about systems. The guys wanted to go and win the ball. Your Raskins, Conor Barron done so much running for his teammates. We talk about the balls coming into the box, guys want to get first contact. That's what we haven't seen kind of domestically.
Why is that then, right? You've got me interested because earlier on, like we started off the show, everybody explains it away by saying it's just tactical. Can't break teams down in Scotland, but there's more space. So why can you not win your individual duels like that in Scotland? If it's not you want to put tactics to one side.
It's a great point. I'm going to need to answer my own question here.
The
point is because it will be a mentality thing, because there will be guys going out here think we can just play on the ball.
That's psychology.
Where he's going. Rangers players looking at the team sheet came in yesterday. They know there's some players who have got top quality. They know.
I'm going to pause it there because I don't want to spoil John's fun. I just think John might be on a similar theme. John and Clydebank, take it away.
Hello, I'm there. I think that against Queen's Park and St Mirren and Motherwell, just maybe at training and no so much committed, and think it's only we're better than them and we just need to turn up. Yet in Europe, you know, we're no better. Even against Celtic, we turn up every maybe Celtic won by one goal, but we compete against Celtic, and we do compete with better teams. But against the weird teams, it's like even the attitude of the players on the park, they're sluggish, they're no up for it. And it's almost when we talk about mentality, I don't know, maybe they just think that they've already won it even before they've entered the park. They've took it for granted.
It's such a sustained thing, though. You know, that last week against Motherwell, now Motherwell score early, and it's the game after Kilmarnock where Rangers have gone two down and get a lot of credit for coming back and winning. But it goes on and on in that vein, and that's why I say it's inexplicable what comes over them on occasions like Queen's Park and Motherwell at Ibrox. Motherwell outplayed Rangers, totally outplayed them. You know, Barry Ferguson, an angry man at half-time, triple substitution, but for some reason they failed to raise their game sufficiently well.
Did you buy John's theory about attitude or taking it lightly or taking it for granted, complacency, whatever?
When you get into the month of March and you have been a disgrace for the most part this season, then how can you be complacent? You know, you are proven failures. You've gone out of the Scottish Cup. Celtic are at kick-off time against Motherwell. Celtic are 13 points clear of you. How can you possibly be complacent? You know, I cannot see why Cherney and Dessers, who were fabulous last night, were the way they were against Motherwell. But I cannot bring it all down to complacency, because you've got absolutely nothing to be complacent about. You've been found out from the start of the season domestically.
Yeah, complacency was my word, and that was a bad one. I think John meant basically not taking it as seriously.
But again, they've dropped so many points to so many teams. That when you get to the month of March,
that's what I mean. I think that's why John's saying, he's explaining that by saying that they don't focus on it, or they take their eye off the ball domestically.
Well, everything, and I mean, Barry Ferguson used to write a newspaper column before he became the Rangers manager, and every week he was on about they have to understand what it's like to play for Rangers, and they have to understand that you must win every game. And I accept all of that, but we get to the month of March and they're even worse.
John, are Rangers through as sure as Hugh thinks they are? How confident are you?
Not at all. I would make Rangers even money in them 2-3-1, whereas I think we'd be favourites. But then even money isn't it like 1-10, do you know what I mean? I think that it's we're, the advantage is with Rangers, but then again,
first goal is going to be so important. First goal on Thursday. Don't you think about that, John? I think if Rangers will go down, obviously, with how games have been at Ibrox, it could be an interesting kind of tale of events. But I think if Rangers get the first goal, that will see them through.
Just even money, John. Can't tempt you into
a bit of luck.
Can't tempt you into more than that. Still just even money for you.
Oh no, I wouldn't say any more than even money. No.
Hard man to please. Thank you very much to John and Clyde Bank on 01419511 1025. Here's something that might interest you during the break. Call Robert Campers. Are giving away rental of a camper van for two nights, plus a romantic gift hamper and 200 cash to spend on your trip. You can have a spontaneous adventure with one of their amazing camper vans and combine travel and accommodation in one. Visit Clyde1.com to enter, and we'll take more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, of course, looking back on Istanbul last night, but plenty of time to look forward to the Cup this weekend as well. So give us a shout, please. Really looking forward to that Celtic-Hibs clash. I don't think we could stretch it too far and say that Celtic aren't overwhelming favourites, obviously, but if there's one team that you would give even just a tiny chance to at the moment, it would need to be Hibs. That's just a credit to how well they've been doing. It all starts tonight as well. We've got Hearts taking on Dundee and various other interesting ties coming up across the weekend. Let's hear from Jose Mourinho. I've thoroughly enjoyed this week because we don't get the chance to hear from Jose Mourinho, quite obviously, on this show. So let's do it. Here's what he had to say last night.
We were very bad everywhere. I think it's not fair to say we were very bad in defence because we were very bad everywhere. For me, it was a good result. Because the way we perform, the result could be bigger than this one. The only thing I tell them is don't celebrate too much, is my only advice. Then if in the end of the second game they celebrate, I will congratulate them. But now, calm down because it's not over.
Mm-hmm. He said lots. We could have just played the full thing. Did you see it as well, visually, the bit with the Turkish journalist, or I assume he was Turkish, forgive me if he's not, goes in a big long question. He's got his head in his hands. He's pretending he's asleep. he's saying to the boy, me and you will go out for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too tired for this.
You can teach me about football for an hour.
We'll go for lunch. You can teach me about football. It was everything that you would want him to be, and further proof that when he jacks it in Turkey, he should come over here.
You'll never ever see that. Mourinho, will go down in football history as one of the greatest managers of all time. Mourinho is now a declining force. He's in Turkey for a reason, because he is diminished as a manager and he's working his way down through the divisions. And his players were once big names and are now big names who are past their best. And that's why I don't believe that Fenerbahce or Jose Mourinho have what it takes to survive Ibrox and still be in the tournament next Thursday night.
Hugh Keevans coming for Jose Mourinho. That's just what we needed on the show. In a way though, I think you have to be allowed to do that. You have to take it on a case by case basis. You're perfectly, you would respect everything he's done, and he's done the lot and he's won the lot. But then you have to be honest. He got a number done on him by Rangers tactics last night.
Outmaneuvered by Barry Ferguson.
And he just did, and that's fine.
In his first game in Europe as a manager.
Yep. Where does this come from? We spoke about this a bit in the office, Scott, and I wonder how you feel. Like, do you think because these European sides, they have a confidence, an ego, a notion that, well, we're at home, we should take the game to Rangers. Like, why don't these teams show Rangers more respect and almost acknowledge how much they can hurt them in behind in these European nights? Because all you would have to do was watch Rangers in Europe this season to know that's what suits them.
Yeah, but I feel like, guys, especially when you're managers, Jose Mourinho, and you do have some of the names that we have mentioned within that squad, I think playing at a club like Fenerbahce, there's as much pressure as playing for Rangers and Celtic in this country, so their fans are expecting them to go out, control the ball, make chances and create. If they were to come out and sit back the same as Rangers were, maybe against similar level European opposition, they would always be, if it didn't go their way, why haven't we had a goal? So I think that does play a part in it. I think first and foremost, the players you have on your side, we're mentioning guys there who have won things throughout their career, they have that natural arrogance, which is most of the time why they've been so successful in their career, to go out and believe that they are better players. So I think It's just that kind of mix. What you will know now is they will respect Rangers come Thursday. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how they set up.
Damage could be done. No,
it could be like I touched on with the previous call. I think first goal is going to be vitally important in this game. Whether and maybe there won't be any goals, mm-hmm. but if the first goal, it has to be scored for Rangers in my view.
Let's bring Gary in and get his take. What jumped out for you last night, Gary? What point did you want to put across?
Even guys, how are we doing? All right.
Good, thank you,
Gary.
Yeah, it was just massive result, absolutely massive result. People are talking about the way Dessers' performance and Cherny and Raskin and stuff, but I think the biggest one was Butland, to be honest with you, because I'm glad that Barry Ferguson stuck with him, because I thought he was close to being dropped with the last few performances that he's been made. But some of the saves, I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're a dangerous outfit. So I think Butland made massive saves in that game.
He's had a peculiar season, Jack Butland. He'd be the first to admit that he has had some horrendous errors. But there were moments in the game last night when, you're right, Gary, he made the saves that were pivotal. So you have to put up with the fact that he's not the goalkeeper he first was when he came to Rangers, but he's the best I've got.
Well, you look at the contrast from the Motherwell game, the part he plays in the first Motherwell goal, Scott, to last night, because they were two properly good saves, weren't they? You know, you get those categories of saves that, yeah, okay, they're good, but they're still saves keepers should make. It would have been a real blow for Rangers to play as well as they did and have the level of chance making that they had to then not come away with the result, because, you know, those shots had gone in. He really had to be alert for, it was two in particular, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was
two. One from Dzeko, I think, one of them, and then one from the midfielder.
Yeah.
He tried to put it in the corner, didn't he? And he tipped it round the post. I think in terms of Jack Butland, I think it says a lot about him in terms of resilience, because coming off the back of, obviously, the weekend's performance, he's come under a lot of criticism time and time again this year. I think he probably knew in himself that he owed the Rangers fans a performance, and but that's what they got last night. He was due a big performance.
And by the way, it could have thrown him accidentally headbutting his own teammate and seen him have to get forced off.
That's my point in terms of resilience mentality. He came back and he's come out and arguably his best performance of the season, so a lot of credit has to go to him for that.
Is he better making these instinctive saves, or, you know, when he had the ball against Motherwell, that's
you'd have saved it.
I mean, it's got no pace on it. It's got no angle on it. And inexplicably, he's all over the place and he drops it. And Luke Armstrong finishes up.
And Gary, how confident are you of progression from here?
Yeah, just like Scott Allen said, I would like to get the first goal. At least keep the crowd, you know what I'm saying? It's just like nervousness and stuff like that. I think Mourinho actually underestimated, to be honest with you, in the first leg. But you know, they are a good team. But they could be dirty next Thursday. So we don't know. Hopefully we'll get through and take it from there.
I'm not sure Mourinho will last 90 minutes in the touchline, you know. I think the whole thing
it was actually nice to hear him moaning about Rangers players doing the dark arts and going down with injuries and all that. It was actually nice hearing it from him.
I'm not sure he'll be able to withstand 90 minutes of 50,000 people inside.
It was a masterclass, because he was perfectly complimented. And he said 3-1 was a good result, because it should have been worse.
Yeah,
you know, Rangers deserved to win, but there was still the odd little barb, which was good. You know, I heard him say something about a penalty, and I couldn't even remember what incident he was talking about that they should have got a penalty.
Yeah, bravado, bluster, distraction. He knows he's been well and truly turned over.
There is no way Mourinho sat there watching the Rangers games all week, expected them to line up and set up how they did.
Do you think it helps not playing this weekend?
Yes.
Yes,
it takes that little bit of pressure away, which we've obviously seen in the frustration coming for the fans. So
it feels like it can
let them enjoy it. Yeah. It can let them enjoy it, and I know Barry Ferguson,
because weekends have been setting Rangers back, haven't they? Mood wise, I mean, at the moment.
Last Saturday, and we were there in the studio. I could not believe, you know, at Ibrox you could be as pathetic as they were. So they get time to rest up, reset, and come Thursday. And of course, it's the same for Fenerbahce because they don't play this weekend.
But they're actually on a good run, which, by the way, makes Rangers' achievement last night even better. Yeah. You know, they're on an excellent run, Fenerbahce.
Must be some poor teams in Turkey.
Listen, don't think it's lost. I like it when the other Scottish teams,
they probably say that about our league as well,
jump in on this stuff though, because I saw a lot of Motherwell fans last night going, what would we do if Fenerbahce? And Alan had tweeted in to say, just a wee heads up, you're all praising Rangers and say they're brilliant on Thursdays. St Mirren beat them on Boxing Day. That was a Thursday. See, the rest of Scottish football wants to get involved. Anyway, it's a nice time for us to thank Gary for his call and play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see if we can end the week on a high with the listeners on 01419511025. Give us a call before 7 o'clock and you could be playing Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Scott Allen, both here for another hour yet. So let's get stuck in on some of the other talking points. Of course, Rangers' win last night was top of the agenda for most of you on the phones by the looks of things. And there is still time to elaborate and do more if you want. But what about the other topics that are out there? Celtic Hibs on Sunday is a properly good cup tie to look forward to. The Scottish Cup actually starts tonight in about 40 odd minutes time between Hearts and Dundee. I can give you team news there. And anything else you want to pick up on before the weekend, please do. Give us a call right now and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are standing by. One of them will take on Chris, who's in Coatbridge. How are you, Chris?
Hey, good evening, how are you?
Good. Have you ever played before?
I have, yeah.
Oh, and how did it go?
I beat Jim Duffy the last time I played.
Ah, right, okay. Hugh Keevans, how's your form?
Fair to middling. But I'd be happy to take on Chris.
I'm torn here because I always want the listeners to win every night, obviously. But if Scott Allen plays and wins, it moves him above Gordon DL and his head will explode, because again he'll moan about Scott's only played a few times and I've played more. It doesn't quite get how percentages work. But I'll be interested to see which outcome we have there. Right, what we'll do, Chris, is toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it will be Scott Allen.
Okay.
His heads, it's you up against Chris from Coatbridge. Are you happy with that?
No, I fancied that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Hugh, we'll give you some greatest hits radio in your lug so you can't hear Chris's answers. You've got 30 seconds, Chris. You answer as many as you can and you pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, let's do it then. Your 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Who got Rangers' second goal last night?
Tierney.
Which Premiership club in Scotland has a castle on their badge?
Hibs.
Who was in charge of Rangers the last time they won the Scottish Cup?
Van Bronckhorst.
How many yards apart are Dens Park and Tannadice? 3-2-8 or 5-2-8?
3-2-8.
Name any championship side that play in black and white stripes.
Queen's Park.
Name any Scottish team that Don Cowie played for.
Motherwell.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Can you hear us, Hugh? Are you ready? What were you listening to there? Well, I can still hear it.
What?
That song you were listening to.
Yeah, What a Feeling. What a Feeling.
See, because you're pointing to your watch, right? But what were you listening to?
What a Feeling.
So you don't know when I finished. So what are you pointing to your watch?
I was counting it by the second.
I finished a minute ago. I was just chatting.
Oh, really?
And leaving you two to listen to Chris, What a Feeling.
Chris, let me tell you, you go on and on about conspiracy theories here and how long you go. I don't care how long you go.
Exactly. This is what I love about you, because you are the most cynical man in the world, but you don't get involved with this rubbish.
No.
You just get on with it.
Life's too short. Chris seems like a nice man.
He is a nice man. Let's see if he can quiz though. Are you ready, Hugh?
Mm-hmm.
Your time starts now. Who got Rangers' second goal last night?
Tierney.
Which Premiership club in Scotland has a castle on their badge?
Oh. Hint.
Who was in charge of Rangers the last time they won the Scottish Cup?
That would be Walter.
How many yards apart are Dens and Tannadice? 3-8 or 5-8?
3-8.
Name any championship side that play in black and white stripes.
Pass.
Name any Scottish team Don Cowie played for.
Ross County.
What are you thinking, Chris? What are you thinking?
I don't know. It could be quite tight.
It is quite tight, I would say. You both made quick starts by noting that Václav Černý scored Rangers second. The Premiership club with a castle on the badge. I'm glad you both got there. If you just think, well, probably Edinburgh Castle. It's probably one of them. And I know that there's a big heart, so we'll go for Hibs. That was the thinking, wasn't it? I could hear it. You both got it right. Scott Allen would know that, of course. It is Hibs.
I did two in the bag.
Two all. The Rangers manager, the last time they won the Scottish Cup, I know they've not been brilliant, but you're doing them a disservice. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Chris got it. And goes 3-2 up. You both correctly guessed that it is 3-8 on the distance between Dens and Tannadice. Please spare me, right? See if someone out there is going to tell me it's 3-9 or 3-30. Somebody's googled it. That's the answer we've been given. Please just accept 3-8. So we're still one up to Chris. Is that right?
Yep.
Still one up to Chris. Name any championship side that play in black and white stripes. I'm already fearing the steward's inquiry into this. Chris is getting it because on my sheet it says Dunfermline, Queen's Park. Somebody's going to say Queen's Park's Hoops, isn't
it? You can't give that. What's Dunfermline? Queen's Park's Hoops.
I know. It says
either
side, and
that's like saying Celtic playing stripes.
Why have you done this to me, producers? Seriously, why always me? As Mario Balotelli would say.
When you asked the question, I only heard you saying black and white. I didn't hear.
I'm giving him it. It's not his fault that it's a potentially weak
Chris
question.
Has nicked it anyway, hasn't he?
But Hugh got Don Cowie. Which was Hearts or Ross County. Hugh's a fair man. You won't grudge that to Chris,
not
will you? Good man, Chris. The sign ball on its way to Coat Bridge. Happy with that?
Excellent. Thanks very much.
What are you thinking about your team on Sunday? That's a nice cup tie, that, against an in-form Hibs team, isn't it?
They really brought it back, Hibs, from the poor start they had at the start of the season. But yeah, it'll be a great game. But hopefully Celtic can win.
You obviously don't need to look too far to find out what Hibs are capable of, you know, winning at Easter Road. Does the Celtic Park factor just make it different, or does it still carry that jeopardy for you?
No, not at all. We're unstoppable at home, so yeah, bring it on.
Scott, I think it's easy for us on the outside. Do you think Brendan Rodgers, the players, does it light a tiny fire even if it's a small one, having lost against Hibs recently and just professionally wanting to go and put that right? Or are you all going to tell me that they treat every game the same, etc, etc?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Ah, come on. You're human beings. You're not a footballer in the top flight anymore. But you don't have to say these things. You don't have to give us the media trained lines.
Celtic, obviously, what you see week in, week out, usually is they go and they do a job, especially at home. They're obviously very exceptional when it comes to home games. They have a way of playing and they do often pin teams back. Hibs, as much as they've been fantastic, obviously 15 games unbeaten, I'm sure it is, they'll still know how tough a task this is, going to Celtic Park and trying to take something in a Scottish Cup tie. So as a player, Celtic players and the manager, they'll have full belief if they go out and apply themselves, they will win the game. Hibs, they would, for me, to come away with something, they need Celtic to be a bit off it, and they need a lot of things to go in their favour.
As you said, I'm the most cynical man in the world. Now, I take away Brendan Rodgers going for a world record-breaking ninth treble. Celtic never having lost a Scottish Cup tie under Brendan, and I think the last time they played, Alistair Johnson's cross into the box at Easter Road, which Willie Collum has now openly admitted should have been a goal, of course that's at the back of their minds. They want a bit of revenge come Sunday, and I'm actually going to the game. I've got to thank my pal Brian Mellon, who's
a game
in the Hibs end,
going to an actual football match.
And I'm now racked with guilt because Brian told me that it's his wife's birthday, Tracy, her birthday on Sunday, and I'm thinking, has he kept his wife at home and given me her seat?
And he's taking you instead.
So, Tracy, happy birthday, and I hope I'm not taking your seat. But I think it's going to be fantastic. The number of Hibs fans, the atmosphere will be superb. There's everything in it for both of those teams. I think it'd be an epic match, and I just hope it lives up to the hype.
Yeah, thanks again to Chris, by the way. I think the more interesting comparison probably is the last home game at Celtic Park, rather than Easter Road. If you're Hibs, how do you view this? You lost 3-0, but you played quite well and you created chances. So do you take it you have to focus on the positives of that, or in a roundabout way, is it a worry now for teams that you can actually do okay at Celtic Park and lose 3-0 or lose 5-1, like Aberdeen did, and in St Mirren, and as part of the review you spoke about there, Willie Colum also admitting Alistair Johnson should have given away a penalty against St Mirren.
Yeah.
But again, it's like a tight game, and yet Celtic score 5 and win 5-2. They are relentless.
Celtic have players who can come off the bench when the starters, who are fantastic players, aren't doing it and can go and win you games.
Who would be the main ones?
That would be Hughes, fan favourite, and Yang, who was outstanding last Saturday.
Two headers.
He was
electric.
Comes on for half an hour, looks like Kylian Mbappe, never mind Yang. And then Marvin Bartley on all night. I'm waiting for my chance to get back at him.
Oh dear. Anyway,
but well done to Yang, because the two fantastic goals and an incredible assist for Mizan Deza.
Luke McEwen as well, who came on that day against St Mirren as well, had a real impact in the game. So that's my point. They have players who can still influence games, no matter how it's going.
See, he's not an unfair man. He'll give Yang credit when it's required.
Absolutely.
Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, actually. He says he's happy with the fact that 7,000 Hibs supporters will be there because of the atmosphere that will generate.
Well, I just think it'll be fantastic. I think having that number of away supporters is great. Hibs are on a very good run, so the supporters will be buoyed by that as well. And we'll come and support the team, and that'll activate our supporters as well. So should be a great atmosphere.
I think it will get the professional juices going for Brendan Rodgers, because he knows 7,000 Hibs fans, the atmosphere will be first class, and he knows that Hibs fancy themselves a bit now on this incredible run. And he will want it on Sunday. And he'll want it because he doesn't want that kind of disappointment whereby the treble might be over the week before you play Rangers. He wants to go into the Rangers game at Celtic Park buoyant, and he doesn't want a massive disappointment behind him.
I've also got this roundabout way, Scott, that although it should be a good thing to go there with confidence and belief, maybe in the loose way, like we're talking about Rangers and when teams open up and so on, I always feel like the games that you build up for Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, and go, they're in form, they can go there and have a right good go. Quite often, this is not scientific, it's just like a feeling I've got, quite often they're the ones that become a bit of a letdown in a way.
Yeah, I think, listen, Hibs aren't going to be favourites no matter the run they're on going to Celtic Park. They never are, especially coming up against a team with this amount of quality and consistency. So, listen, I think David Gray would like that probably to be played down a bit, and his team can go about their business quietly. Like I said, maybe certain things go their way. Celtic randomly might have an off day, and Hibs, obviously, to a player, they will have to defend properly to come away, and when they do get a chance, they have to take it, because like you said, the last time they played, they had a couple of chances that could have gave them the lead, and
just
didn't take it.
Just before we knock beat the pundit on the head, I just long for a night where we get questions that don't need a steward's inquiry, because James Martin is on to say, Gordon, the American flag has stars and stripes, not stars and hoops, so your caller was correct with Queen's Park. I can't even argue with that, but it's not the comparison I expected. Andy is on the line. How are you, Andy?
Gordon, how you doing? How's things?
All good here.
Scott, Shug, hiya. First, before I make my point, I just want to say that really sad news and thoughts for the family, the Rangers fan that died last night in Turkey. Really shame.
Yeah, well said, Andy.
But my thought, really actually looking forward to the game on Sunday, the atmosphere that the Hibs fans will bring. My view on it, probably it's the most important domestic game Celtic have faced this season. I think the winner of the tie, I think they're going to win the cup. What my thought here is, though, is I really, really hope we go with, which I believe is our best team. Obviously, through January and into February with the fixture run, we had to chop and change a wee bit. And I think we're a weaker team when we don't play our best 11. So I really hope we do that. We might be able to chop it about a wee bit for the Aberdeen game and then maybe get back to our full strength for the following Sunday. But it's a really good game to look forward to, particularly with the 7,000 fans coming.
Yeah, you look at that Hibs run, Scott, it depends how you can count it up in the number of games. I was thinking about calendar months here. They've gone all of December, all of January, all of February, not losing any games. Even if you want to go back further, of course, the last team that beat them was Celtic. You know, there's no kind of shame in that. That was at the, that was the start of December. Sorry. So I mean, from that moment on, it's just been, it's been remarkable, really, hasn't it?
Again, and it was all down to changing the shape. Hibs obviously going to a 3-5-2. It allowed guys like Martin Boyle to then show the what they possess, and that is pace in behind. In the previous systems with previous managers, Martin Boyle was spending most of the game doing his running, going back the way defending. Now they've got him playing off the shoulder, where he can actually really hurt teams like we've seen against Hearts at the weekend. So, listen, a lot of credit to David Gray, kind of how he handled himself through the difficult periods at the start of the season. I think he's handled himself with proper class.
And they spoke about the kind of strongest team, if you like, Hugh. There's no reason for Celtic not to, really, is there? No. I mean, it's not like...
What is the strongest team, though, at this moment in time, do you think, for Celtic, if you're Andy?
Andy, take it. Does that what? Well, answer the man. What does that look like for you?
Scott, name it. The back four. Sloop with Johnston, Cara Vickers and Trusty, obviously the goalie. Middle three is Maeda, McGregor and Engels. And then the front three would be Jota, Maeda and Kuhn. I'm a bit of a minority. I think Kuhn's form has dropped significantly.
Right.
And it's nice to see Yang coming in, and he may well, hopefully he gets another run tomorrow, but that's certainly Celtic's best 11. And I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago that when we dabbled about a wee bit, you could actually see the difference in the performance with the team. So, yeah, that would certainly be the 11 that I believe debatable, but I think I believe that's our best 11.
I thought Jeff Schlupp at Paisley last weekend scored a terrific goal, and at the end of the game, he then provided a sensational cross for Yang to get his second header of the night. So Greg Taylor, it does seem as if this might be his last season at Celtic Park, but I would always maintain that he was a fantastic signing. Middle of the park, you're right, it's McGregor, Hatate, Engels.
We'll let Andy off. He said he's got Maeda and his team twice, but he meant Hatate. I know what he meant. Or it's subconscious, because Celtic would love 5-10 with Maeda's if they could.
And I also agree with Andy that Nicholas Kuhn's form has been in and out, but if you were to ask...
To what extent, Andy, just on that, is that because the bar was set really high, though, from Nicholas Kuhn? Would we be saying that if, you know, under normal circumstances?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that I'd be overcritical. I think he had a purple patch between maybe September and maybe November going into December, but I don't think he's been consistent in the full season. Listen, the guy's playing really well. Can I just pick up on the point about Greg Taylor, if that's okay? Mm-hmm. I think, and I'm not taking credit for this, I was actually listening to, I think it was a Homeboys live show a few weeks ago, and one of the guys made a point that Greg Taylor's a decent enough player, right? But he's very unfortunate in the case, and they made the case that Greg Taylor's the second best left back at Celtic since Tom Boyd. The only one that could challenge him for second best left back in that period might be Izzy Geary, the argument was. The problem Greg Taylor's got is that Kieran Tierney's the best. And he was his predecessor, and knew that Kieran Taylor was coming back. Listen, the other wee point of that is, I'll ask maybe Scott, do you think Celtic are going to be able to keep Sloop based on what the reported salaries go? Because he really is an athlete, and to bring that guy in is back up to Tierney, but he can also play some other positions, I'm told. Mm-hmm. I think fantastic signing.
What do you think, Scott? Can you see it? I mean, he will be in a big salary, but he's also going to turn 33 at the end of this year. He's 32 currently. Just in case anyone doesn't know how ages work, I don't know what I had to add to it. His current age was. He's 32. Would there be a financial package like the one he's on at Palace available anyway?
No, I'd be surprised, but I think from a Jeffrey Schlupp point of view, he'll be looking at it come into the season if he has to stay in the team and perform well. Well, there might be a few teams down in England, maybe top of the Championship, lower end English Premier League. We might just take a bite on him and give him. Maybe not as much as he's on at Crystal Palace, but maybe a wee bit more than what Celtic would want to play for,
where he
potentially
doesn't need
their
to
second
compete with
Cairn.
I know that Celtic have plenty of money in the bank, But they do still have to work within the parameters of their own wage structure.
That's how they do it.
No, but I think that's the point, though. How do we know? Do you think Jeffrey Schlupp, when he's out of contract at Palace at the end of the year and he's 32, about to turn 33...
Yeah,
would Celtic have to break their... I don't think they need to break their structure for him,
well,
potentially.
If that is the case and he comes within the payment structure, then I think Celtic would want to keep him, because Brendan Rodgers goes on about the number of times he's played in the English Premier League, over 300 times, and the physicality that he brings. And as I say, he's a tidy player. The goal at St Mirren was terrific. The cross for Yang was even better. So he would be, even though Kieran Tierney is coming back, he would be a very welcome contributor within that squad.
Thank you very much to Andy. It's a good point. I think it's one we'll probably discuss quite a few times between now and the end of the season. Right, let's breathe. 01419511025. Call us right now so we can get you on next. We're build up to kick off at Tynecastle for the first of the Scottish Cup games, and plenty more calls as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 01419511025. We're building up to kick off in the game between Hearts and Dundee, which is a cracker as well. Really looking forward to that. I think it's probably, Scott Allen can tell us, the stage of the cup where you have a wee think about it. You maybe start dreaming, thinking, well, we're not too far from Hampden, and then who knows. So that's the first of the games this evening, and then a busy weekend of it coming up. So we'll look ahead to them. We can still look back on Istanbul last night, of course. So do give us a call. We've got Grant McIver's question for you. He sent one in on the full time teaser. Just in case you're new to this business, that's when you send a question to us and we test the pundits to see if they can answer your question in roughly the last half hour or so of the show. So tonight Grant says, can you name 8 players who've scored a double in the Scottish Cup final since 2002? I am almost certain we've had this or variations of it in the past couple of seasons, but I like it anyway. Can you name the 8 players who've scored a double in the Scottish Cup final since 2002?
Edward.
He did in 2019.
Therefore,
Anthony Stokes.
Yes, 2016.
Did Kyogo do it?
He did not. Not in the Scottish Cup final.
Dembele?
No. Nope. Quite rare. Only 8 times in the last 23 years.
Callum McGregor?
No. Remember he got one against Motherwell in a Scottish Cup final, which I tried to forget about. Thank you.
Tom Rogic?
No.
Oh, I know.
What game are you thinking?
I think there's a fullback from St Johnston.
No. Nope. Okay, we'll get back to it. You've got 2 of 8. That's not too bad. Can you name 8 players who've scored a double in the Scottish Cup final since 2002? Let's speak to Grant before we build up to kick off at Tynecastle. How are you, Grant?
How are you doing? Okay.
Not bad. How are you?
Not too bad.
What are you thinking tonight?
My question is about, I know it's a story for last week, is the Birmingham goal line incident.
Mm-hmm.
Can the goal line technology not be taken down that byline in the same respect to do the likes of last night? Right away, the referee gave the goal.
No, it's a boring answer. Don't mean to be so short with. Well, first of all, we don't have goal line technology.
No.
But if we did, it just works between the posts. That's yep. Sort of, you know, it's but just.
That was the idea. Can they not expand that down the line?
No, I think, I think the technology is obviously best suited to trying to do it within the post. I'm sure there would be a version if you look at Hawkeye and the way they do in tennis and so on. But what we need to know for the purposes of the question is that nowhere in world football does that exist. When we talk about goal line technology, we talk about in between the posts, which we don't have either, Hugh, because it's extortionate.
Yeah, that was the crux of Brendan Rodgers' argument, that if you don't have it and there is no conclusive evidence, then don't get involved.
Because I think he might have said something about, I could be wrong, forgive me, I told you I was in the Labour suite when this was all kicking off, but I think he said something about goal line technology, but goal line technology would not have solved that at Easter Road, because that's for within the width of the post.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the way it should be. It's unfortunate, but the benefit of the doubt should have gone to Alistair Johnson, because there was no way that anyone could prove conclusively that all of the ball was over the line. And, you know, the cross from Alistair Johnson to Daizen Maeda would have made it 2-2. So it's deeply regrettable. But let's see, it will be at the back of Alistair Johnson's mind come Sunday, mm-hmm. and Daizen Maeda's, and, you know, Hibs may pay belatedly.
This is more of an observation. There's no point attached to this, because the point is the technology is there. So Cyril Dessau's goal stands, and it's fine to stand. I'm not arguing with that. Have you ever seen one as close? I don't think I have, for when it comes up goal.
Yeah,
I've never seen one that close.
It was literally perfectly just inside.
Incredible. So Grant, I don't know. I think we're kind of stuck with it. Unfortunately, you're just needing the guys, the humans, the eyes to get it right, and they didn't on this occasion, did they?
It was just a case of, can that technology be utilised down the line then? You know what I mean? If not, then that's fine. It was just an idea.
Aye, listen, I don't think it's a bad question at all. Like I say, I think if that doesn't exist sort of anywhere in world football, Hugh, we're not front of the queue for getting it.
No.
So
it's unfortunate, but the only lesson to be learned is, you know, that if you take that length of time, and you still cannot provide conclusive evidence, don't get involved. Yeah. Let the benefit of the doubt go with Alistair Johnson. Yep.
That really is it. I know we will pour over these. There's not much more you can kind of add to that, because
the one that surprises me, Gordon, is that the following weekend, Alistair Johnson again gets involved in a controversy where St Mirren feel they should have been awarded a penalty, and today mm-hmm. Willie Collum has said, yes, they should have been awarded a penalty. I think there was conclusive evidence there, and yet VAR somehow overlooked it. Was it?
To be fair, those are different, because one's supposed to be factual. There's still a level of interpretation. That said, Willie Collum, the KMI panel, pretty much everybody, I think, thinks it should have been a penalty to St Mirren. We actually spoke about this last week, because last Friday was the KMI panel, and then today the latest VAR review with Willie Collum has come out, so that's why it's come up again. And it should be that simple of, if you can't prove it, just leave it. Because, see, in fairness, it actually is quite hard to tell. Remember the one in the World Cup?
Well, that's the one I think all of us were kind of relating to. It was the World Cup one, and how.
And the only reason, again, it was. The only reason they caught that is because I think that was a spider cam. You know, one of those that goes. So, look, with the best will in the world, I know we're harsh on ourselves, right? But we ain't getting a spider cam in Dingwall, okay? we're just not. You imagine the Tony Macaroni, and there's a spider cam. It's not happening. So, if you don't have that, it's actually really tough, because remember the one in England as well? It was at Arsenal and Newcastle. I can't remember, but anyway, where it was out at the side, and they went and they showed you what the different camera perspective can do. It looks out from pretty much every angle until you go above it. Actually, there's a bit overhanging. So
that's where lies the problem, though, is the fact that when Rogers did come out after it, he said that if it's factual, then they'll have the evidence for it. If you can't tell if it's in or out, then you have to let it go. It's a goal.
Yeah. So there we go. It's not a bad question from Grant, but I think we're banging our heads against a brick wall on that one slightly, because if it's not in place elsewhere, I don't think we would be the first in line to get it, and it would cost a lot of money and so on. But 01419511025, that is the number that you need. So do give us a call. You can send us a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. How much are you looking forward to Hearts Dundee tonight, Hugh?
Well, you know, I can't offer a shred of hope for Dundee, because it's only a few weeks since Hearts went to Dens Park and beat them 6-0 in the Premiership. Hearts are on the rebound from Hibs' deserved victory against them in the Edinburgh Derby last weekend, and will be very, very keen, because once Rangers are out of a competition, then Hearts are actually hoping that Hibs beat Celtic on Sunday and set up an Edinburgh Derby in the cup final. But simply on the basis of everything we know about Dundee at the present time and Hearts at the present time, Hearts would be my idea of overwhelming favourites tonight.
Yeah, I think Hearts will be favourite. Obviously, they had been on a good bit of form up until they played Hibs last weekend. But I think going with the previous goal, whether it was Den Park and it was heavy in the 6-0 defeat, I'd be very surprised if that happens again. It really does in football, because you've obviously learned from your mistakes. I think a big thing for Dundee is obviously having the captain back in Shaughnessy. I think you've seen how much Tony Docherty spoke about how important he is to the team. So, and they obviously carry a threat with Simon Murray. But for me, Hearts big favourites tonight.
As you say, though, the sort of expectancy at Hearts is to probably to get to semis and beyond. And in fairness to them, they've done that semi often in the last few seasons, at League Cup and Scottish Cup. All the points progress and performances progress that Neil Critchley's made, it feels like that would all be undone if you lose a derby and go out the cup at home to Dundee within the space of, what's that, five days?
Yeah, without doubt.
There's a bit of pressure on them tonight in that regard, isn't there?
Oh yeah. He's got to deliver, otherwise it's a really serious mistake that he's made and his players have made. As I say, the Hearts fans would actually welcome a Hibs win on Sunday, because they would love an Edinburgh derby in the Scottish Cup final, the chance to get revenge.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah, I think they're
fans. Is that how rivalry worked? If that was Glasgow, you know that you never want your rivals to win.
Well, I think the Hearts fans would love it, because they if Hibs won and it was the third derby win in a row, then it's a disaster. But they would live in hope that they could do it at Hampden. But by the same token, if Celtic win on Sunday and it led to a Celtic Hearts final, then the best cup final, and sadly no one got to see it inside the ground. It was in the COVID period when Hearts played Celtic and it went to penalties. It was a fantastic game.
Just do a quick bit of team news if you're interested. Happy birthday, James Wilson. Turns 18 yesterday, out the team tonight.
Oh, charming.
Maybe celebrated too hard last night.
Good player.
Very good, but he's not on the team. Craig Gordon is. Forrester, Nielsen, Steinwinder and Penrice at the back. Beningaby, Cartam, Spittle, Shankland, who tends to play a bit off the front these days. Kenneth Vargas in there. And the man who has been amongst the goals, but maybe wasn't at his best last week, Ilton Kabangu. As for the visitors, Trevor Carson in goal, a back three of Donnelly, Shaughnessy and Astley. Across the midfield, Mulligan, McGee, Garza, Robertson and Larkesh, with Simon Murray up front. Adewumi will provide a bit of width for him, won't he? So looking at the benches there, and as I said, like James Wilson on no real other talking points. You both fancy the Jambos, do you?
Very strong.
Yep.
Very strongly. Same to you?
Yeah, strong.
Do you buy into this kind of nice distraction from the cup, from the league, sorry, for Dundee, because they're having a bit of a rough time in the Premiership, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I think the fact that obviously Hearts beat them so overwhelmingly the other week will have a big factor in terms of how they set up tonight. I think we'll obviously watch Hibs last night. Hibs obviously clips from last week and how much they frustrated Hearts. I didn't think you seen Hearts as an attacking threat at all against Hibs, so it'll be interesting to see if they took anything from David Gray's game plan. They've obviously set up in a 3-5-2 as well, so it'll be interesting.
Jordan's on the line. How are you, Jordan?
Evening, gents. I hope you're all well.
Good, thanks. What have you got for us tonight?
Couple points. So first, the shoe do start stripes again. Hugh, thanks for saying we're going to make the final. We're not going to make the final. Just like you said, it's going to be a Edinburgh Derby final for the Scottish Cup. Now that won't happen.
Cheer up, Jordan.
Mate, I love your predictions, but we know they only end one way.
See, on that, Jordan, why are you so sure that Rangers will get to the final, but you've not got them winning it? What makes you so sure that they get there and fall short?
I don't want to go too far. Stage at a time.
Right.
You know, I think they'll get
so
to the final.
Saying that they'll get to the final is a nice conservative prediction.
Because
is it?
You, none of you can come back at me right now, because you're thinking,
we don't know yet.
I didn't think they would get this far.
Fair enough. What jumped out last night then, Jordan?
That like Yang to you, yeah. last night.
You're getting my nerves now, Jordan.
That's great. That's what my aim was. So last night, Dessers probably had his best game for Rangers. He's probably redeemed himself a little bit with the fan base. And the second point was on Barry Ferguson. I mean, I think he was given quite a lot of stick in the past few weeks about his time at Kelty and his time at Clyde. A lot of people said this guy wouldn't be the right man for the job. He's got no experience. He's done very poorly with Kelty, done very poorly with Clyde. I think he's just beat his hero in management right now, and his hero,
who's probably is one of the best managers ever, minus Pep Guardiola, to beat Jose and get Jose's signature of approval and say, yeah, you've done well. I think he can retire happy now.
Bit early for retirement. Just to pick you up on what you said about Cyril Dessers, you know, redeem himself. Is it not a bit unfair, someone who scored over 20 goals in what has been a miserable season for Rangers, why does he have to redeem himself? He's scored plenty of goals.
I think Jordan just means the stick, though. I mean, he has had it.
I think he missed 120 chances, though.
You're a hard man to please, Jordan.
RW sent a great message earlier. It's one I could have probably just teed this up at 6 o'clock and we could have had a full debate on it. Is Cyril Dessers Rangers Player of the Year?
What a question that is.
Well done, RW.
I thought, you know, I thought they might withhold the award this year, given all this season.
You've got them reaching a European final. You'd need to have an award ceremony.
I'm talking about domestic football.
That's a really good. Who would be Rangers Player of the Year this month?
Is it Cyril Dessers? And if not, who is it, Jordan?
At the moment, I'd probably say Churney.
He's about the only one that I thought might come up there.
Yeah. He's such a talent. Again, another interesting question. You know, £6.5 million if you want Cherney to hang around. So they'll have to dig deep to keep him.
Who's Rangers Player of the Year right now? Is it this or is it Cherney?
Well, joint award.
that's a hard one. Just because of the inconsistency, obviously, the performances. But I think I would probably verge more on Cherney for me.
The safer option.
I would prefer to watch Cherney than I would Dessers.
Okay, thanks very much to Jordan on the line, 01419511025. And speaking of that number, do we have something special lined up for you? Let's do this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
All this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we are celebrating Clyde One's official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We've been giving tickets away, meals, drinks, a proper local night out. All you have to do is give us the punchline to a quite terrible football joke, and we're going to get one of our pundits to deliver it tonight. You will win, if you get it right and you get through, two tickets for Larry Dean at the Barrowlands on Sunday the 16th of March, with starter, pizza, a side, two drinks per person at Nona Said restaurant as well. All you have to do is give us the punchline to this joke.
Tell me, what is a ghost's favourite football position?
Once more.
What is a ghost's favourite football position?
Call 01419511025 with the punchline and you could be off to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. You can also buy the tickets as well. Check it out, glasgowcomedyfestival.com. But you need to get your calls in before the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are underway at Scottish Cup weekend. Hearts 0, Dundee 0 inside the opening 30 seconds. So we'll keep you up to speed if anything happens that you need to know about. There is still time for calls and tweets as we look back on last night, look ahead to tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's play this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
So all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, if you've been listening, we've been giving away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Tonight it was two tickets for Larry Dean at the Barrowlands on Sunday the 16th of March, and throwing in a starter, pizza and a side, with two drinks per person at Nona Said. All we wanted to do was have you give us the punchline to this footballing joke.
What is a ghost's favourite football position?
On the line we have Hammy, who's a St Mirren fan in Paisley. How are you, Hammy?
I'm fine, yourself?
Good, thank you. What is a ghost's favourite football position?
A goalkeeper.
A goalkeeper. Are we happy with that? We're giving it to Hammy?
Yeah, well done.
Well done, Hammy. You are off to see Larry Dean at the Barrowlands, and you've got a bit of food and drink in there at Nona Said as well. Happy with that?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, yeah.
Good man. Still unhappy about that penalty you didn't get last week?
Oh, unbelievable.
I was just wondering if we would get any St Mirren fans on now that we've heard the audio and so on today. But there we go. Thank you to Hammy. Well done. Enjoy your night out on us.
Thank you very much. Cheers then.
There we go. Simple as that. I have to say that I think this could be a few possible answers were accepting goalkeeper. Thought that was good. But Ian Miller sent me a message to say, what about fright back?
Yeah, good.
Wouldn't have minded that either.
That's creative, I like that.
It was not bad at all. Hearts on the attack. Kenneth Vargas cuts in and curls one wide of the post. I've actually enjoyed that. We've been giving away the tickets. We're going to do it tomorrow as well, actually, I think. Oh, there we go. What a nice surprise that is. I didn't see that at the bottom of my sheet. Yeah. I think we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to crank it up with a really good prize tomorrow on the Saturday afternoon
Henrik
show.
Henrik Larsson must have scored two goals in the cup.
Oh, right. We're back to that. I forgot about him. I forgot about the teaser. Yes, Grant sent the question in. Can you name eight players who've scored a double in the Scottish Cup
against
final
Fennell
since 2002? You've got Edouard and Stokes. You can indeed add Henrik Larsson, who did so in 2004.
Rudy Scatchell.
Yes, 2012.
Nacho Novo.
Nope. And you got the one, didn't you? I remember that one in particular. Was that Falkirk, was it, in the final he scored?
Is that a roasting hot day?
The big hitters then. Chris Sutton.
Nope.
John Hartson.
Nope.
Venegar or Hesselink?
No. Okay, we can get back to it. You've still got time. And don't forget, we do like to use your teasers. That's the whole point, is you try and catch out the pundits. So the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Send it in and we'll try our best to use it. It's very much the early stages. Dundee had a bit of territory early on, but Hearts now, as you would expect, trying to control play a bit more and get forward, but no real chances of note.
But the Dundee point that you made earlier, Gordon, is the most pertinent one of all. I mean, Hearts on the back of an old an Edinburgh Derby defeat cannot be going out of the Scottish Cup at home to a team who are toiling badly in the league.
Yeah, it would be a shock, as much as a shock can be with between two teams in the same division. No, yeah. We're probably past the stage of the competition where we're obsessed about shocks. Anyone who listens, you know, every weekend when it came around, we would all ground the grounds, Hugh, and look at, right, what's a shock? Who's going to knock out Hugh? The only ones were their scope. Can Queen's Park carry on their fairy tale
again
for when
Jimmy,
they go to Pittodrie?
For Jimmy to lean, that would be a disaster. But I genuinely think that with home advantage, says the man who watched Queen's Park beat Rangers with home advantage. But
took Aberdeen until the 75th minute. You have a shot on target. It was the goal last week against Dundee United.
I know they were
really frustrated, Aberdeen.
But Kevin Nisbet, you get the feeling that Kevin Nisbet is just warming up now. I think Aberdeen will win, I think.
Let's hear from Callum Davidson. This is what he had to say heading into that game against Aberdeen.
Yeah, listen, it's a really special run for Queen's Park, so I think it's, you like to believe, don't you? You like to dream. You do think about it. I'd be lying if you say you don't think about these things. That's what why you're in the game. It's brilliant for the club that we're here in the quarterfinals. I think it's an opportunity to, you know, you said lightning strike twice, try and put a performance in that can get you through the next round, get you semi-final.
They went there in the League Cup earlier this season. It wasn't loads in the game, but what do you think?
I think you're obviously better placed that, obviously, after beating Rangers away at Ibrox. I think they've had a couple of good away results recently as well in the league. So, listen, they'll be confident they can pull off a scalp. I think Aberdeen, obviously, coming back last week and getting the late equaliser, will be obviously looking to build on that. But I don't think it's as much as a foregone conclusion as maybe some people might expect.
If Callum Davidson puts out Rangers and Aberdeen at Ibrox and Pittodrie, they should give him his own wee Scottish Cup to take home.
Having already won it and won the League Cup. I think you're right. It would be crazy of me, of all people, to moan about television coverage. Obviously, we know why it's there, but it is very spread out. It's Friday, one on Friday, one on Saturday, one Sunday, one Monday. We can't break our own rules, Hugh. We always say, if they play in different divisions, it goes down. It's a shock.
Yeah.
But there's very little between Livingston and St Johnstone in terms of the pyramid.
Yeah. Because it's at Libby, I just have a feeling that David Martindale will be in the last four.
I'm going to go with St Johnstone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, though, it's kind of on a knife edge as well, I think.
It's the one that both, well, apart from, you know, Queen's Park are in there, but I think, is that the tie where Libby and St Johnstone are probably both happy with it, if that makes sense? Because if you're St Johnstone, you know it's a tough place to go, but it is an opponent from a lower division. And if you're Livy, you've got home advantage, and it's one of the so-called weaker sides in the division above. So they'll both fancy it, won't they? One.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That one can be won or lost, maybe by a goal or so. I do think St Johnstone, and amongst obviously some defeats, they have put some wins together. They have proved that they can go somewhere and win. So for me, I'd still think St Johnstone would be favourites, but knowing Davy Martindale and how tricky he can make it for opponents, could be an interesting one.
And we can get stuck into it more over the weekend, but for the avoidance of doubt, any shock in the east end of Glasgow on Sunday?
Not for me. I really do think it'd be interesting from Celtic's point of view, because for the first time in a long time, they've had a completely free week. I think they'll be rejuvenated, re-energised. As long as Dyson Maid is on the park, you've got a busy afternoon ahead of you. I think Celtic will win that game within the 90 minutes.
Okay, well, we'll find out who the first team through is tonight. Dundee actually had a bit of an opening, but the ball just kind of ran away at a crucial moment. It is still Hearts 0, Dundee 0 with 8 minutes gone, trying to build something down the left. Hearts, if they score in the next minute or so, we'll tell you about it before we disappear. On your teaser tonight, who are the 8 players who've scored a double in the Scottish Cup final since 2002? Edward, Stokes, Scatchell, Larson.
Did Craig Conway do it?
He did in 2010. Dundee United against Ross County. One Celtic and 2 Rangers remaining.
2 Rangers.
Ronald de Boer.
Nope.
Stephen Naismith.
Nope.
Milovic.
More obvious than them, I would say, in terms of Rangers goal scorers.
Chris Boyd?
Yes. The other Rangers ones, I feel like it's a really memorable final list, 2002.
Peter Lovenkrantz.
Peter Lovenkrantz. Yeah. You've got one remaining. Can you find it in your Celtic memory bank player anywhere?
Striker or midfielder?
He is a striker.
Gary Hooper?
Yes. There we go.
Come on, Scotty.
Didn't even
take
have
us
to,
over the line tonight, Hugh.
Didn't even have to give out any more clues. There we go. And as you can hear, we are almost done. So the latest from the capital, Hearts 0, Dundee 0. I'm sure many of you will go and watch that now and find out who the first team through to the next round of the Scottish Cup will be. And then it's on to the weekend. Will Aberdeen or Queen's Park join them? Will Celtic or Hibs join them? Will Livy or St Johnstone join them? So we'll find out over the weekend. Big games in the Championship and down the divisions as well. So we are going nowhere. There's not a chance we're giving Hugh Keevans a Saturday off. We are here, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you join us. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Friday in the company of the GBX.